friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. The purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, September 11th, 2023, and I couldn't wait for this day to come about because I'm going to introduce you to two long-term friends, people that have been used of God in my life and in the life of this community and actually parts of the world. Those of you that heard me talking about our recent Ministry Leaders Network luncheon, well, Pastor Gary Grogan was our keynote speaker. He's been a friend entrenched in this community for 30 plus years, beloved by his congregation. In fact, I had a whole page of introductory remarks of the ministry work that he's done throughout the world. And yet I just wanted to focus on how many people that have served under him or that have been a part of his congregation just love on him. And his topic was pastoring with excellence. And that was one of the things by way of introduction. I said, Gary, your congregations have always loved you. What do you do? What are you doing right that has them saying, we love our pastors? And so he talked a lot about leadership, and we may touch on some of those points today. So Pastor Gary Grogan joins me, and also Tom, the beloved Richardson. I always like to introduce him as he likes to go all over the world preaching the gospel, saving souls, reaching people to reach other people. But he always has said that he loves traveling the world because if he goes to different churches each week, he doesn't have to revamp that message. He can keep preaching it. But he's got a great sense of humor. We met on a racquetball court and have been community involved and engaged in witnessing. You know, sometimes through words, but many times Tom witnesses through listening and asking questions. How's your family? How's your job going? Very simple things that we can all do to build that relationship. And then when God brings about maybe that divine appointment where we can talk about spiritual things, you've already built that relationship. So Tom's had people reaching people's ministry going on for many years. And I included him in this interview because he was here and he's been a good friend of Pastor Gary Grogan for many years. So is there anything else you want to say about Gary other than he's mentored many people, even in these later stages of his ministry? He's still working, I think, on a PhD, and he's engaged and involved in many different things. But what do you know about Gary?
Well, not only his personal ministry, but he's inspired many to count the fruit of through his ministry. It wouldn't be just Gary Grogan. It'd be Gary Grogan and thousands of people he's touched. Yeah. And he's a man of influence. He's a man of leadership. And he inspires me every day, every time I'm with him.
Yeah. Well, he becomes a friend to anyone that meets him. In fact, so many people stayed after last Thursday's gathering and wanted to talk with him, had questions. He recommended a number of books. And maybe, Gary, as we talk a little bit about leadership, and not just the leadership that pastors have, but we're all influencers. We all can lead people where we go, as we go. But I opened up the program out of Proverbs 20, verse 5, that states, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. I think you have a different rendering, but maybe talk a little about that and then dive right in on something that maybe our listeners can tangibly take with them today.
Thank you, Mark. Joy to be with you and my dear friend Tom, a wonderful teaching evangelist who has personally won more people to Jesus than anybody I know. And grateful that it worked out for him and I to be here together today. That's actually one of my life verses, Proverbs 20, verse 5. And there's a paraphrase that says, within the heart of mankind, within your heart, Mark, within your heart, Tom, is wisdom. And now I'm pointing at myself, and a man of understanding draws it out. It's not my job to see what's wrong with you or what's wrong with an organization that you're a part of. It's my job to pull out what God has put in you and to disciple that, to coach that, to mentor that, to spiritual father that. It takes no brains. It takes no intelligence quota. It takes no spiritual gifting to see what's wrong with something or somebody. But it takes a man or a woman, a person of spiritual understanding to see what's right and pull that out. And that's what my whole life has always been about, seeing potential in people, calling that forth, spending time with them, discipling them. That's what I did with my own children. That's what I do with my grandchildren now. Anybody of average or less than average intelligence can see what's wrong with something.
Right.
But it takes intelligence quota and true spirituality to see what's right. Pull that out and nurture that and mature that and enhance that and grow that. So thank you for reading that scripture. That just that gets me going. I love that verse.
Well, and you're involved in a fathering ministry. I know your email has fathering in it. Talk a little about where God has you right now.
Yeah. Well, I have a little ministry called Heart of a Father Ministries. And, you know, if people want to email me, they can email me at gwgrogan@fathersmission.com, G-R-O-G-A-N. And that's what I feel like my primary gift is from God. We all know what spiritual gifts are. It's the Greek word charisma or charismata, gifts that are spiritual. The way that's translated is spiritual gifts. We all have them. You have them. You have a massive administrative gift. I'm looking at the wall right now behind Mark and family of stations. They go all the way. They're alphabetical from Beardstown and Bloomington all the way down to Urbana and Whitehall. I don't know how many towns you have there.
Yeah.
But to manage all that, to get all that going and then to sustain it, Mark, you work hard, but you also, Romans 12:8, you have a gift of leadership. You also have a gift of administration, which Paul listed between gifts of healing and prophecy. So it's a pretty important gift. And, you know, I just admire that about you. You've been faithful through the thick and thin. You've been faithful through the up times and the down times, hard times. And you're still here proclaiming the great news.
Yeah. I sometimes claim that God has a divine sense of humor, and I'm an example of him using it because he does equip us when he calls us, but it's so, kind of a privilege, and exhortation is the other thing I love. So the radio broadcasts get to build people up, and somebody like you that's a gifted teacher that loves to pour into people, I love to interview or have sharing different points and thoughts because people are going to be listening now, growing, growing closer to the Lord, learning, developing, and hopefully, however, the Holy Spirit would use some of the things that are said and shared, could equip them to share, to help others for all eternity, if you will.
My primary gift of the Holy Spirit, charism is the Greek word, is spiritual fathering. Now, when you say the word father, there's all kind of images that come up in people's minds and all kinds of emotions that people have. Right now, fatherlessness in America is at an all-time high. And there's many different levels of fatherlessness. Divorce, death, absentee father, abusive father, emotionally withdrawn father who's never told their precious little child, I love you, does not know how to express proper affection. And there could be somebody listening right now who's having a real emotional moment because they see fathers walking through a store holding their little daughter's hand, and they never remember as a daughter getting to hold their father's hand. One of the things that I'm doing right now in my life is trying to get people to connect, and I'm putting my fingers together here, putting my hands together to connect with the love of the Father. There's no way in a short little broadcast like this we could ever get across all the scriptures that talk about how much God loves us. Right. His mercies are new every morning. His love is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He will never stop loving us. The love of the Father is a reality. And when you experience it, there's joy, there's laughter, there's happiness, there's grace given to live with what you missed in life. Again, somebody could be listening right now, and this is just piercing their heart because their father never said, I love you. Right. Their father never let them crawl up on their lap, or their father was mean and dictatorial or punitive and always putting you down. Looked at your report card, you got all A's, one C, and they didn't comment on the A's, and all they said was, why did you get that C? And, you know, I'm just here to remind people that I want you to be immersed, baptized, so to speak, in the love of the Father. It'll set you free. The greatest example I think we have in the New Covenant is what we call the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15. Three incredible parables in that chapter of lost things that were found, and that's the last one. But it really should be called the parable of the extravagant love of the Father.
Yeah.
He went against his tradition, against his culture. When a child shamed the family name, they were expected in the village to be chastised, beaten publicly. There's still remote places on the earth now when a child shames a family. Literally, if that child tries to come back home, they are prevented from coming home. And this is awful strong, but there's actually places where that child is hunted down and killed for shaming that family. That was the culture of that time. But that man broke out of his culture, broke out of his tradition. He must have been sitting on the porch every night looking for his son to come over the horizon. And you know the story. He ran to his son. You know what kind of clothes men wore in those days? Mm-hmm. They wore robes. He had to reach down to in the front between his legs, pull up the back part of his robe. It's called girding your loins. Tuck that thing in, and he had to run to that boy. And he fell upon his neck. It wasn't a little polite hug. He fell with great emotion upon his neck. And I'm sure a crowd gathered and people watched, and he said, "My son who was lost is now home. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, get a new robe and put it on him." You know what that meant, Mark?
Yeah. Accepted and loved.
I've accepted. You're at the family. You have a right to sit at this table. Mm-hmm. Go kill the fatted calf and let's have a party.
Yeah, I think even the fact that he ran, distinguished older men did not run. They walked, and the fact that he got up and ran is another thing that he broke from culture.
Yeah, you don't want to see Tom and I try to run.
I think we call it a waddle.
So you know what I like to do? I like to encourage people. We all know Psalms 23. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I know technically that is talking about like those buttes out in South and North Dakota and out West, you know, those things that just come up out of the ground. They're flat on top. And so, you know, those who have really studied Psalms 23, it meant that the shepherd would go up there ahead of time, drive out all the predators, make sure it was the right type of grass to eat, make sure the water was fit to drink. Mm-hmm. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But most people, when they read that or hear that, they think of setting at a table.
Right.
And so I'm just going to ask listeners, would you envision yourself setting at a great big table with your favorite foods on it? The Father has prepared for you everything you need, all provision. Provision for loneliness, provision for insecurity, provision for depression. And I want you to see a big Queen Victorian chair with velvet on it with your name embroidered in gold. You belong at the Father's table.
Mm-hmm.
When we learn to sit at the Father's table, we're able to handle the stresses of today. So anyhow.
Well, this is a topic that I love to talk about and share, because even if we had a good father that modeled great love, there were still times of disappointment, or he didn't make it to my 16th birthday, or he promised this and didn't show up.
Yep.
And so even our best envision of what a good dad is can fall short. And we have to always be careful we don't indict God the Father in terms of our earthly dad, because many people have been not only disappointed, maybe violated or abused or let down, or their dad was inept or not there. They don't even know who their dad is. But Jesus told us, you know, when you pray, pray our Father. But because of the baggage that many people carry, that's not an endearing term. When Jesus meant it's like daddy, it's a safe place, it's a loving place. But for the person that hasn't reached that point of understanding, how can there be a loving God? If you knew what happened to my life,
Absolutely.
If you knew the situation I went through, I had a stillborn death, or this situation, raped, abused, how could a loving God allow those to happen? How would you maybe help them understand that God really does love? He is love.
May I interject, Mark, that sometimes you say that word, and apparently to the three of us, it's a very positive term, and we think of good things. But there are some people that you say the word father to them, and it's instantly all negative.
Yeah. So to answer your question, you know, how do you handle that when people have the negative emotions towards an abusive father, a disinterested father, an emotionally detached father? That's where we have to ask the Holy Spirit to smash down those walls. And, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send you another Parakletos, another comforter who's going to come alongside you, and he's going to lead you into all truth. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. I came to Christ as a small child, but there's very probably people listening who came to Christ later on in life. In other words, you had a revelation and you repented of your sins and you asked Christ to come into your heart. You believed and you were supernaturally born of the Spirit. Something supernatural took place on the inside of you. Old things were passed away and all things have become new. But it started with a revelation. Just like we need a revelation of salvation, of personal sin, we need a revelation of the extravagant, lavish, unconditional love of the Father. And that, for some people, it can be instantaneous, but for many people, it's a process.
And unconditional is a powerful word, what you just said. That's a little beyond our comprehension because it's hard for us to experience.
Well, and I think, too, Jesus stated, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what kind of life did Jesus demonstrate for all of us? He sacrificed his own life. He gave up his blood. He died for our sins. So for somebody maybe not having a good understanding of this Father God, we'll look to Jesus. What did he do on our behalf? Help people understand God's character through how Jesus not only sacrificially died, but he loved, he healed, he valued, he cared for people.
It makes me wonder if he didn't have a comprehension of that unconditional love you're talking about, if he could have endured the cross.
You know, this is why I like John's gospel so much. Matthew, Mark, Luke are called the synoptic gospels. In Latin, that means parallel. You can almost put them parallel beside each other. But John's gospel is so unique. And one of the most unique things about John's gospel, over and over and over again, Jesus said, this is my paraphrase, oh, I just do what the Father tells me. The Father's not going to tell you to do anything wrong or bad or diminishing or punitive. I just pray that somebody experiences the lavish love of our wonderful Heavenly Father. He will provide for us. He will protect us. He will reveal his presence to us. And for those who have been massively hurt by a father, a biological earthly father or step parent or foster parent, I am so sorry, and I will never know the depths of your pain, but he does. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, the writer of Hebrews says. Where is God when those terrible things happen? You lose a child in childbirth or in infancy. He's right there weeping with you. He's right there hurting with you. When a marriage breaks up, when children rebel, he's right there. That's a big difference between us and those who do not know the Lord as Savior. Wow, I just sense he's with us right now, Mark.
And listening, friend, maybe you're really hurting. I would recommend that you draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's stated in James. God loves you. He created you. You have value. You have purpose. He loves you. He cares for you. He does weep over the things that have happened in your life. He didn't cause them. But they have happened, but he's there to bring healing and hope and encouragement and blessing. And he can transform that situation in your life to be used for greater good, to help others. You will have levels of compassion that others don't have. So you can be used of God.
And sometimes you talk about drawing near to God and it seems so difficult. And yet if you could just picture him waiting for you with open arms,
Gary, I'm going to close out reading the verse we opened up with. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. How can you encourage our listeners to help draw these things out of other people so that today when they go into work, or maybe a mother or father is going to deal with their teenage child or the workmate or a colleague or a friend, how can we learn to best draw out of this good that is in other people?
You may not be old enough to be a spiritual mother or father, but you can be a spiritual big brother or big sister. Then when you get a little bit older, you're a spiritual uncle and auntie. And so just as you would hope, in fact, anybody that's listening, you've had a coach, a school teacher, a pastor, a friend, a parent, a grandparent, who they enhanced your giftings and they pulled it out. And just simply, Lord, I want to be that way. I don't want to be one of the negative ones, one of the naysayers that's always seeing what's wrong. You know, some Christians wear me out because they talk about everything that's wrong with America. Well, I'll admit, America is not what it used to be. I call it the modern day Babylon. But there's still a lot of good in America. So anyhow, that's what I would say. Just have a desire to do for others what they've done for you.
And those deep waters, to get to that depth, you have to have that relationship, that trust, that caring, and I think have an attentive spirit to listen to what they're saying, because there's probably something behind that veneer or what they're saying that goes deeper. And to draw that out, you've probably built that relationship, or you've asked good questions, because so many times we're thinking about what we're going to say instead of really listening. Because I think when we really can listen to an individual, we can understand there's something deeper here.
That's what coaching is. You ask the right kind of questions. Mentoring is pouring in. Coaching is pulling out. That's what it is. Spiritual parenthood is both with a high relational element. What a good broadcast. Thank you, Mark. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Well, listening friend, if maybe there's something stirring in your heart, let me give you an 800 number. There's trained counselors that would love to talk to you about how to have a relationship with Jesus, or can you trust the Bible, or is there a God truly that cares about me? You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and they'll pray with you, they'll encourage you, and they can answer your questions about the Christian faith, or maybe it's a question you have that just needs to be asked to somebody. 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thank you, Pastor Gary. Thank you, Brother Tom, for being a part of today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. I hope you'll be blessed by something that's been said and shared. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Gary Grogan, and Brother Tom Richardson with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.